This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Eurogamer newscast and a very special episode looking back on last week's GDC, the Game Developers Conference that happens every year in San Francisco, and Eurogamer deputy editor Chris Tapsell was there for us. He joins us here today. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, Chris. sorry. Hi.
He's very tired, everyone. We have to make allowances.
Eurogamers, news reporter Victoria Kennedy is here too.
Hello.
And I'm Tom Phillips. So Chris, you got back on, was it Saturday? Is that right?
Yeah, Saturday lunchtime, yeah.
How are you feeling now? Have you got rid of the jet lag?
not quite. I felt better yesterday than I did today, actually. Today it's really hit me, but maybe I could get away with it yesterday because I wasn't working. I was just kind of drifting around. Yeah, no, I'm all right. GDC is this weird mixture of being like really, really exhausting and really, really energizing at the same time. Like a lot of these big trade shows are, and like, you know, game shows are. So I'm in very good spirits despite sounding and seeming very much not so. I had a really good time. It was really productive, really enjoyable, and has uplifted me a little bit, you know, after a really rough start to the year with games and the state of the industry, and a rough year last year as well. So yeah, we'll probably talk more about that, but I'm good.
That was gonna be one of my question prompts for you.
How miserable was everybody?
I was gonna phrase it slightly different to that, but yes.
No, you're right, and we should definitely talk about that. I think for people who maybe aren't super familiar with GDC, because it's not like E3, it isn't open to the public. Could you sort of just explain how it works? You know, it's based around a sort of a convention, a conference, but it is developer facing, and really it's for people who are working in the industry as developers.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally Game Developers Conference is what GDC is, and it's very much a like you say, industry facing thing. The basics of it are that it is a week Monday to Friday of talks and panels, so you go and sit in it's at the Moscone Convention Center in San Francisco, and there are three buildings part of that, two main ones, and one big hall in the third where the State of Unreal keynote happens every year. So Epic always has a big presence because of that. And yeah, basically developers will pitch talks in advance. And any broad definition of developers, so you have people from PR and marketing and community management, as well as, you know, really hardcore programming talks. You pay for a ticket, be that for like a day or a week, and there's different types of tickets. The odd talk is sponsored, so you have to bear that in mind every now and then when you're going to one of like, oh, it's a sponsored talk, I know what the tone is going to be like here for certain topics. And it is mostly a learning and networking experience for developers. I would say you will learn some things if you went along, and it's really educational actually for me, because, you know, I don't work in development, and it's very difficult for us to get a good window into. Obviously you can we know how it works, but you learn more about the sort of the finer granular detail of problems that people are working over and how they're solving them, this sort of thing. But yeah, as much as it's a learning thing, I think it's more of a networking thing. So behind the scenes, as well as all of this, you know, a huge amount of people are actually there to either secure funding for their game or show their game to platform holders like PlayStation, Xbox, etc. To network with other people too. And networking sounds really like it's just a terrible word. Sorry, I've been using it a lot this last week. But it's to meet new people and get on with them and hopefully develop a useful and enjoyable relationship with someone that can help them with whatever it is that they need help with. So for me, it's you know, a combination of building sources for future stories. It's meeting people who maybe we want to interview in the future and just sort of helping them get to know us and like the idea of what we want to talk about and like relax a little bit, even if we're not interviewing them on the spot. It's like, well, we'll go for a coffee and you understand that, you know, I'm like, I'm not scary and I just want to chat about cool stuff that you want to chat about. Or it's to, there's the odd bit of like preview-y stuff where people treat it as like another opportunity for a marketing beat, which is what E3 really is, or Summer Games Fest now. But it's much less that, and it's much more from a journalist standpoint, we'll probably get into this more as well, but it's more about proactively seeking people out, chasing things down, covering stuff that happens on the diary, but mostly using the fact that so many people from the industry are there in the same place you don't normally get access to do something interesting, whatever that may be.
Basically. Do you have business cards?
Do I have business cards?
Yeah, I'm just like, do people still use business cards?
Business cards. I tell you what, business cards. I've never seen so many business cards in my life as I have at GDC. And I have been to business conferences in Japan, and there are even more business cards at GDC. the people don't know what they're, but in Japan, business cards are very important. You have to, like, it's a whole sort of slightly ritualistic thing of like handing them over with two hands, receiving them with two hands when you meet people in Japan and do this sort of thing in a business context. And actually I had a funny moment before because I've still got business cards that are my reviews editor ones, and they're in the office and I work from home, as you can probably tell. And I haven't had new deputy editor ones since the role change last year. And I suddenly twigged to this at the last minute and asked if we could print them out on short notice, and they said no. So I didn't bring any with me, and I got asked that so often, do I have business cards? That's going weird Vietnam flashbacks to last week. With someone going, do you have business cards? And we have to awkwardly say no. They actually have a thing now where you, on your lanyard, there's a QR code, and you can scan the QR code on someone's lanyard to get their like social media or like whatever details you put in. So like your LinkedIn and your Twitter handle, say, is what I put online. So there's a lot of like LinkedIn friend adding or connecting and social media handle swapping and that sort of thing for people who don't have them. I have a bucket load of business cards in my bag now, kept with a load of receipts.
I like the idea of next time you want to do an interview, you're just going to like lucky dip the business card and be like,
done. Yes. It is very surreal having people hand you cards after all this time, but there's something quite nice about it. And actually, it's nicer than just adding someone online. It's a physical thing that reminds you of them. It's a bit like how you always get sponsored pens from and notepads from developers when they do previews, because it's their best way of trying to make you, or like a mug or something, remember their studio every time you take a swig of coffee. It's a weird traveling back in time moment with all the card trading when we're out there.
So obviously back in the UK, we heard, I think, probably more of the structured stuff that goes on over there. So there's the live stream for State of Unreal. That was a big deal. Mm-hmm. There was the award show. And I'm sure if you read Eurogamer, you will have seen like a lot of the comments and acceptance speeches were all hot topic issues, and those are already on the site. Some of the big panels as well, like Larian did them, CD Projekt did them, Nintendo did them. Those are sort of stuff that's now out there. But can you talk a bit about some of those conversations and coffees that you were having with developers, even just sort of the general themes of what people were talking about out there? What were the sort of the biggest conversation things? And was it layoffs?
The really obvious one was obviously layoffs, but it wasn't like it wasn't necessarily explicitly layoffs. It was more like philosophical. I think every time I talk to people about it, I go, you know, the whole like existential crisis. Actually, no, it's not an existential crisis. It's a moment of reflection, and that became kind of like a running joke with people, that we've got this sort of PR sanitized way of putting it. But it's, I think, you know, the industry is looking inwards a bit at the moment and going, okay, something's not quite right. Where are we going wrong? What's going on? And lots of people have different ideas about this. And I've spoken to people very senior at a lot of very big companies, people whose names you'll know about this, and they have their own opinions on the solution, I guess, right? And they all have their own solution because it's their job to. And so part of that is, you know, they might not even believe what they're saying, but that's what their company is betting on at the moment. So they've got to go big on that. In terms of, yeah, what's coming up, I guess specifically it is what happens next. And there is this kind of competing idea of what that is. So some people, you know, it's AI, and there's you know, generative AI is one part of that. We saw the Ubisoft NPCs, the Neo NPCs, they described them, which I was at their little sort of announcement conference there, and Yves Guillemot was there and spoke to us a little bit off the cuff, and obviously seems relatively confident. But his, you know, when we were like, how do you feel about it, his reaction was, you know, well, it depends how you feel about it. I think he was waiting to see what the press thought, right, because they were showing it off for the first time, which was interesting. I think, you know, I don't know, maybe you'd expect him to be more confident, but it was very speculative. And I think that's still how people see that type of tool set, as like, well, we've created this thing, and we don't really know exactly what you could do with it yet, but we know you could do a lot of different cool things, but no one has actually decided what the cool thing is or come up with a cool thing yet. So the example with this demo was basically putting it into the context of a fairly standard NPC interaction, where they're like, welcome to the Resistance, tell me about yourself, and then they react a bit to that, and then ultimately you end up in the same conversation system as ever before in a game, where you have to just choose between one of the few options that progresses things. You can have as long a chat as you like before that about whatever you like, but ultimately it's going to come back to, you know, answer A, B, or C is what progresses things. So my point there is that there hasn't really been like a definitive, there's been a proof of concept, but there hasn't been a proof of it actually being in a example that is new and interesting, exciting, that you've never seen before. So that's one thing. There was also talk about different kinds of AI, the kind of, you know, save 5% efficiency per year type of AI, where it's a tool that helps developers do certain technical things a bit faster. That feels more real, and that's often, a lot of talks were like, we've been doing this for a while, here's what it's done for us. And I think that's exciting for developers who are working directly with that, and less exciting for people who don't. You know, it's like an update for like Adobe, do you know what I mean? And then there's, what else is there as the future of the industry? Well, there's talk of lots of people starting new studios, and that's something that I'm working towards a piece on myself, not to spoil things. So that will still take a while, but that's what I've been talking to a lot of people about out there, is people who've started new things or are starting new things. Some people I spoke to were very, very early. I mean, like, hey, I got laid off 2 months ago, but I got some severance, so I'm going to try and, you know, get some like-minded developers together. And they have, you know, really crazy good experience, and they're sort of crossing their fingers, and they're at GDC sort of hoping for the best that they can get some stuff off the ground. What I would say above all is that I was pleasantly surprised by the optimism across the board. And a lot of people I spoke to on the record were, you know, very senior, because that's sort of like your sort of job out there is to kind of get the most senior scalps that you can for interviews, you know. And naturally, they're going to be optimistic because they're running companies. And they're going to go, oh, yeah, I'm pretty scared.
But that's great, isn't it? That's the headline that you want.
Yeah,
Phil Spencer, scared.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, Phil Spencer's really worried about the future of Xbox. You know, it's not really like, yeah, what you're going to get. But yeah, the sort of people on the ground were surprisingly, I would say, resilient. There was lots of like, we've been through this before. It happened in 2009 was the last time I remember it being this bad, after the financial crisis, and it was bad, but you know, we're still here. And I think that was the takeaway for me overall. That was a very long answer, but it's basically, it is bad. People are really struggling. They're scared, and they're, you know, having a very tough time, and many of them are fed up or angry or whatever else, but they're also still here and they don't want to go anywhere. And they, very much want to find a solution and want to continue making games because they love doing it, is the vibe, definitely.
What did you think to the GD scream?
I wasn't there for that. I was in a talk. You know, some of us are actually working when we're out at GDC, unlike other, not just sitting around.
You were
the park.
Eating chicken pizza. I saw the pictures.
Yeah. I
did you hear it from the talk? Do you hear the scream outside?
I didn't. It's a shame because this is the annoying thing with GDC where there are always three interesting things going on at once. And it is impossible to be in, obviously, in more places than one. I mean, there's even like, there was one day where there were three talks at the exact same time that were massive. And they were full of newsworthy things. You know, there was like a Cyberpunk one that I wanted to go to for spoilers for a piece. There was the Baldur's Gate one, which we've already seen news stories from, that we turned around from that with Sven Vink, and there was the the future of video games from Alexander Sropin, the Bungie co-founder, who's doing something different and odd, all three of these would be perfect. They all start at the exact same time. I mean, you just can't do it. And this is the great thing is when you are in the right place at the right time and lightning strikes and you just get it. I think the one for me last year was what was it? The AI thing. I'm getting a little bit of feedback from you, Victoria. Sorry.
Yeah, my husband's opening biscuits.
Okay. I thought this was Scottish rain.
No. It is about to snow, though.
Scottish shortbread.
Yeah. the one last year was the AI moment where there was like a random panel from, I think it was on animation. It was like an animator summit. And I went there because there were some people from like Naughty Dog and Bungie who were going to be talking, who are just, you know, very rare people to see, and you go say hello to them afterwards and see what's what. And they pulled out, and then one of the guys who filled in, and I was close to going, oh, screw it, maybe I'll just go. But one of the guys who filled in wrote like a last minute song for something fun. And it was the bit where they wrote a song about AI and how especially particularly generative AI, how it was screwing people out of jobs, and you know how angry it made them seeing these, you know, terrible like artists renditions, you know, and all this sort of thing. And that really became like the hook to hang like a long feature on about the industry's response to AI. And similarly, like there was an AI talk at the start of the week and the queue was like around all the way around the convention center inside, and people couldn't get in and stayed queuing after the talk started, hoping 20 people left and they would get in for like the last 10 minutes of it. So that was, you know, a case of just putting yourself in the right positions. And there was a bit of that this year. This year for me, it was less about maybe those big moments and more about bumping into the right people at the right time. I had a lot of conversations with people that were just very impromptu of, I'm having a coffee with one developer and he knows another developer who literally bumps into them on the street. And you end up having a really nice chat with them, you know, entirely on background, but learning really interesting things. Similarly, another developer, the one I mentioned, you know, came up to me from a couple of really big studios who was really experienced and had lots of, you know, interesting things to say, that give you ideas for future pieces or connections for future pieces. And that is very much the magic of it. And the best thing about it by a long way is just the fact that if you know where to stand and where to go when you have for 3-5 minutes, then you can just stumble into really interesting stories. But I did not hear the scream, sadly.
You said that the vibe out there from people you spoke to was one of sort of a bit of confidence, or more confident than perhaps it has seemed recently, from our point of view. Has that sort of filtered through to you? Do you feel personally sort of more confident about where the industry is and where it's going?
Yes, no. I don't feel like it's going to, like, how can I put it? Video games aren't going to crumble and go away. I don't think anyone really necessarily thought that, but it certainly felt like is this not just a contraction but an implosion, I think is the worry, right? When you see this many layoffs this quickly, especially the start of this year, we actually accelerated on last year, and the last year is the worst year on record or whatever. I feel more confident that it is a very, very difficult moment, and that we will get through it. And that, say, next year will be a good year for games again. Longer term, I do think that we will continue to have great games, obviously, and the industry will be, you know, very much alive and kicking. But I do think that things are probably going to change with how AAA works. I don't think 7 year development cycles for $300, $500, $800 million games are the future. I think they're going to get rarer and rarer. I also, because companies are realizing that, like, hey, if we spend this much money and this long, it only takes one flop to put you in major jeopardy, right? And every company thinks that's not going to happen to them, and then it happens, and it's a major disaster. And then, you know, companies being companies, they don't tend to learn from their competition, they tend to learn from themselves. So it's like they'll watch someone else do exactly what they're doing and get unlucky and have the flop and go, well, we're not good, that's not gonna happen to us, so it's fine. And but gradually, one by one, every company is learning it the hard way that these things can go very wrong and they're in trouble. That's not the only issue by any stretch, but yeah, that does feel like a change.
To a certain degree, we're seeing that already, though. I mean, this year we've had some brilliant AA games compared to the big kind of, I'm not going to name names, but there have been some other releases which were maybe touted as more highly anticipated, which have been a bit meh.
Yeah,
you've got like the Helldivers. Well, I was going to say, I was thinking more like this year, but like, you know, Helldivers has been amazing, and no one really saw that becoming the phenomenon that it has.
Helldivers has been amazing. I would say that from the conversations that I had out there, what I overheard, it's worth bearing in mind how long that game was in development, which was easy for us to overlook. That was not, it wasn't like that studio was kind of chilling for 3 years and then started making it. Their last game was 2015, I think, the first Helldivers, Arrowhead's game. So it feels AA. I really love Helldivers, and I love what the developer's doing, and I love them on Twitter and stuff. They seem awesome. Mm. But yeah, there's a suggestion that it's that it is not the kind of like plucky little AA that could, if you know what I mean.
It's published by the biggest console manufacturer in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to help.
Yeah. That definitely will help, I think. Yeah, I think that they would probably be relieved about the situation in terms of how well it's done, is how I'd put that.
You're being so diplomatic.
Yeah. But yeah, there are green shoots of like, there are lots of interesting things being done by people who have gone independent. And I think a lot of hope is going with them. And one of the things that really terrified me was the Something Wicked layoffs, which is Jeff Gardner's studio. And, you know, there was a guy from Something Wicked giving a talk out at GDC, who's an extremely seasoned developer who was working at Bethesda as well as like Jeff was. There's a worry, I think, amongst some other new developers when they heard that. I talked to a couple of people about that, and they were like, "Oh, can I swear? Can we swear on this?"
You can swear,
right? Yep. Well, they were like, "Fuck," because some people hadn't seen that news break while we were out of GDC. Because a lot of news happens when you're out there. So I don't know what happened with that situation. It's a very, you know, every developer is different and every situation is different. It may be that, you know, something wasn't working. I don't know how many layoffs there were, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a real mixture of like, people are trying lots of new things. And when that happens, it means a lot of people are going to fail. And some people are going to succeed. And that is the weird moment that the industry is at the moment, where I think there's going to be there's a lot of instability and change and like reevaluation and retargeting of what you're doing and money going to different places to where it used to go and so on. And it means it's messy, right? But I am optimistic in the sense that I'm full of admiration for how much creativity and passion, I know these are such like horrible buzzwords, but like genuine, sincere, really deep spiritual passion that people have for video games and making them. But there's no reason for these people to still be doing this other than their total obsession with the craft, right? Because like the vast majority of game developers are geniuses and highly employable geniuses, you know, who are very good at things like programming and engineering, and have degrees in physics or computer science, you know, and they're choosing to do this in an industry that gives them terrible job security and terrible pay, and often lots of abuse and everything else. They're continuing to do it because they love it. So I'm positive and optimistic in that sense. And I'm optimistic that there are things that are coming out that are going to be exciting. But I think maybe beyond 2025, the industry is going to look quite different. It takes time for these things to settle in. But I think, yeah, major AAA video games will look a bit different in a few years' time.
That's a lot to take in. I'm quite impressed by you.
Yeah, sorry. I talk a lot, and it's a lot. My brain's jumping around a bit, but it's been a long week.
No,
what was your highlight from the week? Looking back, what was your top tier GDC moment?
Good question. From a work perspective, a couple of interviews were really good. It's a really boring answer, but I had a really nice off-the-record chat with a developer slash publisher that was really good, and I had a few of those, so I'm not saying anyone who had an off record chat with me can't go, oh no, he's talking about me, because I spoke with lots of people off the record, so don't worry if you think it's you, it's not you. But I had a really good one there. I had several, but I had one particularly good one that was just really nice, a couple of good gets from interviews that you can look forward to with headlines on Eurogamer soon that I feel really good about. And I went to a couple of talks that are fantastic. I would say the Zelda talk, I can give you something specific now. The Zelda talk and the Mario talk were absolutely sensational, like genuinely wonderful. I am full of renewed admiration for how clever these people are. Like, they really are geniuses, and not like geniuses in the way people throw that word around, like actual geniuses. They are the type of people who make something very, very complicated look incredibly easy. The talk about Zelda was about how they interact physics and sound to create sort of the game design theory that they had in mind, and how basically they showed something that's very, very rare for Nintendo, which is they showed their game breaking. They were like, when we put these things into the game, the whole world broke. And there was a joke about like Ganon, you know, we set Ganon loose on Hyrule, basically, where it was all these ridiculous examples of things just imploding, like a gate, you know, shutting on an ice cube and it completely crumbling, the whole universe, and how much they had to do to sort of basically make the entire world work according to the rules of physics rather than just certain objects. And then what that opened up for them and how it changed, and then how that changed strangely with sound and how that all intertwines into game design. And it was just absolutely fascinating. Same with the Mario one, which was, again, really senior developers, or producers, as they call them, from Nintendo, talking about Super Mario Wonder and how they got ideas for the Wonder abilities by getting the entire studio, if they wanted to put a... put an idea on a post-it note, on a sticky note, and they showed a picture of it, and it's just this wonderful mixture of, like, some people have just written an idea, some people have done these wonderful drawings of Mario that are like perfect, some have done these really terrible sketches, you know, it's like clearly it's an engineer trying to do a picture of like what's happening, and they allow basically anyone from any level, any seniority, to come up with ideas, and they showed some rejected ideas, and there was like a very funny one from a I think it was like one of the lead composers who wanted to do it was like Mario Taxi Virtue, and then all of the music becomes it's almost like a cappella, so it's like someone's humming the music but also making all of the sound effects for all of the bricks and everything like that, and they reworked it and made it into a different thing that I think did make it into the game, but they got him to do the sound effects almost as like a joke, where it's like, okay, if you're gonna do it, then so it's him kind of going like and make these very funny mouth noises for all of the abilities in the game. So those were really special. They were absolutely packed out. Everyone was scribbling notes. It really felt like a moment for the industry where they, you know, you got to learn from the masters at Nintendo. So that was really cool. Otherwise, it's little things like going for lunch. Like I turned up, and I have a friend who works for a US outlet. I don't think he'd mind me saying this, where he invited me along for dinner, a friend of his who works on in sort of publishing and development, and just had a really wonderful dinner around someone's place. Purely from sort of being in the right place at the right time and knowing nice people and their sort of generosity. And similarly, just, you know, random people who I said hello to for the first time, who I know sort of mutually online, and then going, oh, I'll come for a drink or come for dinner and things like that. Little moments in between things were really, really lovely. And it really, again, it reminds you how wonderful people are in the industry when you're with them in person, and how much of a shared passion everyone has. So as a whole, it was lovely, really.
Can you do a power up noise?
Can I do a power up noise? It's like bloop bloop bloop. This guy could do better than me. That's why he works in music and not me. Yeah, it was really good. What was it like for you guys at home during this week? Is it feel like pretty much, you know, business as usual with the odd news story popping up?
I would say it was simultaneously really busy and then really quiet. You really felt like everything was going on in a West Coast time frame, and obviously you saw like panels happen or award shows happen, and like the rush to get stuff written up and online, and you'd see various different people's reporting of it. So yeah, there was a lot going on. I mean, a lot of the stuff that sort of happened, we did have a bit of a timetable for, like State of Unreal. I will admit, actually, the award show one, I don't think in the past that we've actually turned substantial news around from that award show.
Yeah.
So, and it was the, you know, we don't really care too much about the awards themselves. They're not sort of industry awards. And even when it comes to the Game Awards in December, you know, that show is very much more about what else is said there. And I think for the first time around, like this year, that show too was the same. You know, we were listening in for what people were saying, collecting their speeches rather than necessarily which games won those things.
Yep.
So 100%. Yeah, the other big story from last week, we're at time, I just wanted to really quickly ask you, was the leak of the PS5 Pro specs. Did that sort of register out there, the fact that those things had now been reported on? Was there excitement for some of this hardware? Were people that you'd been speaking to, you know, maybe they couldn't tell you if they'd already been using it for 6 months or whatever, but there are a couple of pieces of upcoming video game hardware that people are working on, even if they can't say that they're working on them. And sort of, was there sort of surprise, or was it more like, oh yeah, we knew about that stuff?
I think most people couldn't care less. I know that's really weird, but I think most people I talked to were kind of like, oh, is there? Oh, okay. because the reality is it's a consumer product, right? And I think there's loads of hype because it's, you know, yay, you know, a new reason to get 400 quid out of gamers. And the reality is that as developers, most of them develop on like PC anyway, and then they sort of scale it back for console. So it's not like, oh wow, this unlocks something new for us, because, well, they still have to make games for the PS5. I mean, half of them are still making games for PS4, you know, that are cross-platform at the moment. So I don't, the vibe I got was they didn't really change much. Half people hadn't even heard about the news when I spoke to them, or that it had broken. People were quite nonchalant about it, I would say. It was interesting to have that break while I was there, but because of the rate of news of what was going on and announcements while you're there, everyone has their own thing that they're unveiling or trying to sort out. I think everyone was sort of focused on their own either problems or priorities. For it to really register, I was surprised by how little it registered. Actually, it wasn't like everyone was suddenly going, oh, have you seen the PS5? It was more like, have you seen someone else has been laid off? So yeah, I think there was, it was, it put it in perspective in a way, because it's such a big deal for us, and it's a big deal for the everyday sort of like video game player at home. And you know, in my career, it's always been a really major, exciting moment when a new piece of hardware is announced, and it's big news. But I think, yeah, amongst developers, they're really focused on it. I think it's more important than ever. There's probably more pressure than ever and more consciousness than ever on like how successful your thing is that you're making. And so everyone just seemed intensely focused on their own thing. But that in itself was interesting to me, definitely. It was, yeah, the awards thing was actually more people spoke about the awards. A lot more people spoke about the speeches at the awards than the console news, which is really interesting. And obviously there's like the new Switch that's being worked on behind the scenes. And we know that people were sort of demoing at GDC, Gamescom last year, right? We covered that. We wrote a piece on that. And there's just very little. I think also people are just extremely hesitant to talk about anything like that for obvious reasons. But even in whispers over pints, there was more concern about the big existential stuff, and it was more like a couple of people I spoke to were more sort of the opinion of like, what does this change? Because the question is, as some people framed it, not everyone agrees with this actually from where I spoke to, but as a lot of people framed it, the industry needs to expand to a wider audience and grow the size of the audience, not just try to extract more money from the people who are already playing video games. And so it was, yeah, it's cool, but that doesn't reach more players than we already have. It reaches the people who own a console, which has stayed the same for what, like 5 or 10 years now, right? Like there's a certain number of million people in the world who own a console, and that's not going up. So that was also something that was fed back to me, was, yeah, really cool, but it's selling something to the same people that you're selling to already, and the concern is that hasn't grown. So people are still thinking about all of the many things, be that AI or like user-generated content, UGC as it's known, is another major one. Let's say, example being like Roblox, right? Or people making games within Minecraft and then other people like sharing them with other people, or what Epic's doing with Fortnite. Those are kind of like the big things where someone's going, oh, maybe that's going to like grow the industry and get new people in, and it's appealing to young gamers, and that's how you grow it because you're a new generation. Yeah, it was surprisingly muted on that front, basically.
Good to know. Well, there was a lot going on, and there's a lot going on right now, which we should probably get back to. So let's wrap this up. Thank you so much for your time, Chris. It's great to talk. I hope you get over the rest of your jet lag soon, and I can't wait to read more about all of the stuff that you uncovered at GDC over on Eurogamer.net. Thanks for watching, listening. If you made it this far, much appreciated. We'll be back very soon with another newscast. Until then, Chris, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Chris Tapsell, so it's my first name and my surname. Not that you'll get very many exciting tweets out of me, just a few things about football, and here is what I wrote this week. But you're welcome to come find me there. There will be a lot of stuff. I don't want to screw myself by saying this, but there'll be a lot of stuff from GDC coming over the next 1 to 2 weeks, and then longer term as well from things that we've picked up, so you can look forward to that if you're excited about GDC.
Ace. Victoria, where can people find you?
I'm at Lil Chop Shop Gal, and I will be writing news.
Me too. I'm at Tom Phillips VG. We'll see you all soon. Thanks for watching, listening. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.